It's good to have some laughing and humor. It's good. It's good to have that in the house at times. So, it's good. Good to see your faces here tonight. Good to see all of you. And if you have your Bibles, we can go ahead and turn over to Hebrews. We're going to be chapter 1 and 2 tonight. And I want to tell you, just as you're turning there, is Jesus important to you? I hope tonight that you realize that Jesus is important. He is very, very important. And I think even tonight with some of our humor, it was wrapped around his name. And just in some way, it's just wrapped around his name. And as I said this morning, I there's a lot of things we've done over the years. And you guys were not participated. And I think the semi-annual meeting was a good one. Who was here at the semi-annual meeting? Yeah, we had some of those names. Most of you were not at the National Day of Prayer. So if you were at the National Day of Prayer, just lift your hand up real quick. Okay, so we see, so there's a difference. So, and some of them were the same, just a couple. But they were both great. I've heard both good comments about both of those. So when you get involved with some of the other things outside even what the church is doing, you see that God is doing even more. And it's a great way to see that. It really is. It was good. So, and you can definitely feel the Holy Spirit there. It was more preaching on grace. It was just really good. It was a good night. But tonight, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Hebrews tonight, and we're going to be floating in there a little bit tonight. And there's going to be some you might have some questions, but we don't have. I want to be able to run through a few verses tonight. There's going to be some parts I'm going to have to skip for the time's sake, but we're going to work through what we can work through because I want us to realize by the end of this, Jesus is really important. He is really important, and God says he is really important. And when you get Jesus in your life and you find out that you have the most important person involved in your life, and then all of a sudden you find out that you become important to him. So we're going to pick it up here in Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to go here in verse 3. It says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word after making purifications for our sins. And he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So he became higher in rank than the angels, just as the name he inherited is superior to theirs." So we know this, that the Son of God, his name is Jesus Christ. He allows us to be purified from our sins. He's one to forgive us of our sins. And he is sitting at the right hand of God right now. He is interceding for you and I. We've seen this through a couple of other scriptures, but if you want to know where Jesus is, he's sitting right next to the Father. It's a good place to be, right? Sitting right next to the Father. And it says he became higher than all the ranking and all that of the angels. I want to tell you that God is organized. He is very organized. With the sun and the moon, you see how organized he is when you read the creation of the earth. And the universe, and the sun, and the moon, and the stars. Everything does has an order. Everything has a place. Everything does what it was created to be and to do. And so here we find out that there's a part of angels. Angels are something that God created. And I know that there are some people out here that, not you tonight, and hopefully not you tonight. If it is you tonight, then you need to see me or Dan afterwards. Jesus and Lucifer are not brothers. Amen, Dan?
Amen.
If you have a problem with that, then you need to go see Dan or myself or one of the other guys, because there is a belief out here, and then I say out here, that some people believe that Lucifer and Jesus were brothers. No. Lucifer, as we call him the devil, Lucifer was a created angel. Jesus is the Son of God. Totally different, okay? So, and I want to just take a step over here for a moment. We don't worship angels. Okay? There. We do not worship angels. In the 90s, there's been a lot of that kind of floating around. It goes up like this, but in the 90s, there was a kind of a pretty good, strong late 80s, 90s, kind of almost to the point where many people were just kind of even putting angels up, trying to put angels even higher than Jesus, and that's not what we should do. He says he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, and he became higher in rank than the angels, just as the name he inherited is superior to theirs. Now, we're going to move on down here to verse 16. A lot I'm going to skip in verse 1, but it says this, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve those who are going to inherit salvation? So, angels are ministering to us. They are helping and ministering to us, okay? We don't worship them. We don't talk to them. Now, there is some scriptures that says we need to be aware that sometimes we entertain angels and we're unaware of it. But what I'm saying is we don't talk to them, is we don't pray to them. We don't pray to angels, okay? I know that there's a belief system out there that we can pray. And if we can pray, we can pray people out of hell, out of purgatory. We can pray to the point where we're praying that also comes with money, that you can put somebody up to be called a saint, and get that high piece there. I was just reading something yesterday where someone is trying to get this one person to become a saint, and they've already dropped in $250,000 and still not a saint yet. So I'm just saying that there's all of that, and then that whole thing of, listen, angels are some what God created. Now there's some things we do not understand. Is that okay? Some things are just a mystery, and some things we just don't know yet. But we see in Scripture that are not all ministering spirits sent out to serve those who are going to inherit salvation. So God has those angels moving around, and they are ministering to us, and they are doing, guess what? They are doing God's work. Now, some of this may sound very elementary to us, and that's okay. Sometimes we need to take a step back, but some of this is going to sound kind of basic, but just bear with me. So angels are doing the work that the Lord has for them, and they are out actually ministering to us, helping us do whatever that God has for them, and they are sent here to work through and to help us. Demons are fallen angels. Those are on the other side that the devil uses, and they are part of that team that goes out to try to discourage us, to do the things and tempt us and to cause us to stand against God, to go against God's word. So there's a battle. And any of y'all that like Star Wars, it is the perfect analogy. You're either on the light or the dark. And so we see that there is a strength in the darkness. There's a strength in the dark side, but it does not trump God's light. Amen? God's power is way much stronger than Lucifer's power, okay? If you want to get into that, you can go in there and you can read the first two chapters of the book of Job, and it'll tell you that Job was asking for permission to attack. So Satan was asking permission to attack Job. But he goes into chapter 2. Now I will challenge you to read some of these other scriptures that we're missing tonight, because I want you just to kind of know the power and the awesomeness of Jesus. He says, we must therefore, in verse 1, pay even more attention to what we have heard so that we will not drift away. We need to pay attention to God's word. We need to pay real close attention. I don't want to say the cosmos, but all the stuff that's going on in the whole universe and everything. And God's got angels going here, going there. You can read Daniel chapter 10. You'll see some of that stuff going on there. You'll see Ezekiel chapter 38. You'll see some good stuff in there. Or 28, you'll see some stuff in there about Lucifer. And it's like the Bible will put spots in there, but you got to pay attention and read and see what it has. But there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. When you're sleeping, there's a lot of stuff going on. When you wake up in the morning, there's a lot of stuff going on. Throughout your day, there's more going on in your world, what you see, than what you actually see. Okay? Listen, think about this. You get up in the morning, you get in your car, and you start driving, and you're praying. And you know, when you're praying, what are you doing? You're talking to God. And when you're praying and you're asking God for something, you're asking God for you to give an opportunity to share the gospel with a coworker. You're asking God to intervene for someone at the hospital. Listen, when you do that and you're asking God, listen, that means things are in motion. Things are in motion. God's got his angels moving. He's got his power moving. He's trying to wake up a Christian early so they can get to the hospital. Wake up this person. Get involved with this person. And there's a lot going on than what we can really see. Okay? And so we need to remember what we've heard and what we're listening to, that we don't drift away, because we are important on this earth. While we are here, we are important. We are saved individuals, filled with the Holy Spirit, movable by God, choosable by God, picking us and choosing us to help those who are on the crossroads, those who need help, whatever it may be. And God wants to use us, and we don't have time to drift away. We don't have time to not be a faithful servant to God. We don't have time to miss a whole bunch of Sundays. We don't have time for that. And so, because people's lives, eternal lives, are in the equation to this, and so much. And so he says, so that we will not drift away. He says, verse 3, how will we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? We need to understand that we have a salvation that comes from Jesus Christ, and we should not neglect that. We don't have time to drift away. Drifting away is a habit that still happens today. Does it not? It still happens today. In chapter 10, verse 25, it says, I know the scripture by verse, but I don't want to mess it up. Not staying away from each other, And let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works. In verse 24, verse 25 says, not straying away from our worship meetings as some habitually do, but encourage each other, and all the more as you see the day drawing close. So there's a part where we need to encourage each other. There are times when you don't feel like coming to church on Sunday morning. And if you make it through Sunday morning, there's times when you don't feel like going to church on Sunday night, but you found yourself here. And I'm going to tell you, God uses that, uses the word, uses the music, uses the fellowship, uses the communications that we have to strengthen us and sharpen us, where you encourage somebody out here in the hall, or you prayed with somebody over here, or you prayed with somebody down here. That is all encouraging. It all comes together, and it keeps us from drifting away. It keeps us strong in the Lord. He moves on, and he says, in verse 5, he says, for he has not subjected to angels the world to come that we are talking about, but one has somewhere testified. What is man that you remember him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels for a short time. You crowned him with glory and honor and subjected everything under his feet. Do you know everything is under Jesus' feet? He says, for in subjecting everything to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. As it is, we do not see everything subject to him. We don't see everything because we can't see everything. But everything is subject to him. I think we got a good God. I think we got an awesome God. I think he's helped me out a lot. Helped you out a lot? Let's move on down. He says this, but we do see Jesus. We do see Jesus made lower than the angels for a short time, so that by God's grace, that he might taste death for everyone. Do you know that he tasted death for everyone? I didn't just say that. God's word just said that. That he tasted death for all of us. Okay? Crowned with glory and honor because of his suffering and death. Jesus did not deserve to die. But it was the gift that God gave. It was his grace. It was the peace that came in. The gift of eternal life came through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. For in bringing many sons to glory, it was entirely appropriate that God, all things exist for him and through him, should make the source of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. You know that we have one Father? One Father. One Abba, one Father, okay? One Father, okay? We have one Father, and I need to be in a relationship with him. We need to be honest with him. We need to have integrity when we stand before him and pray to him. We need to be sincere. We need to show respect, have awe, reverence. But then yet he also says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Even when they won't give the respect, he still says, come. Because a lost man don't know all that stuff. But yet sometimes he does, standing before the presence of God. Even in a worship, men who are sinful, men who don't have Christ in their life will come, and they will take off their hats in a service. They will stand sometimes at the back, as we see the story that was told. They'll stand at the back and say, I'm unworthy to come to the front. Even sometimes the lost man knows in the presence that they are in the presence of God. They're just stubborn at that point. And they begin to soften. God will use that many times. Now he says in verse 13, again, I will trust in him. And again, here I am with the children God gave me. So we know that God gave the children, us, to Jesus. Now since the children have flesh and blood in common, Jesus also shared in these. We know that he walked upon this earth so that through his death he might destroy the one holding the power of death. That is the devil. The devil held the power. That's why the cross was so powerful. That's why the cross is so amazing. That's why the empty tomb is awesome. Because Satan, here's the one, the devil, he's the one that had the power of death. He held all of that. And now through that, he loses that on the resurrection, the death and resurrection, the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And free those who were held in slavery all their lives by the fear of death. For it is clear that he does not reach out to help angels, but to help Abraham's offspring. Angels know what they're supposed to do. Okay? Don't get too much involved in all of that. Read the scriptures, learn about what you can, but remember, because you can easily get persuaded. This is also, if you study the dark side, there is a dark side in scripture. There is a Lucifer, there are those who are fallen, there are those in the Genesis chapter 6. There's a lot of this stuff. It is good to study it because it is God's word. But if you get into, start studying too long into the dark side, it can easily pull you in. I did a 3-month study years ago, and I felt that starting to pull. Not that I was changing sides, but I began to talk and see more about the dark side than what Jesus was showing me. And then in the spirit, he said, let's get back to Jesus now. And it was just in a moment, like a clapping of hands. So I put it all aside and went back to Jesus and got my joy back and got filled back up. And then there's times I go back and study spiritual warfare or whatever, but I don't stay there too long. I try not to stay there too long. But he says this. He says, For since he himself was tested and suffered, he is able to help those who are tested. Jesus knows what it's like to be in our shoes. Like I said before, there's nothing you went through that he hasn't already heard. There's prayer requests that would probably sound similar to someone else's prayer request. Let me share with you just a few things here that I believe that Jesus has helped us on. Number one is Jesus helps us in our families. Amen? Jesus helps us in our families. Jesus has helped us and helped me obtain a job. Has Jesus helped you obtain a job? Has Jesus helped you when you were jobless and you were looking for a job? He found a job that was fitting just for you. Did he also come to this place where we say, he's also helped me with my children? Because I didn't know how to be a dad at 22. Do you know how to be a dad when you had children? No, you sit there and you try to figure it out. And I'm going to tell you, God's word is the perfect place. And he has helped me raise 3 boys. And I'm sure he has helped you raise children. And my parents used it as well. And God has helped them raise me and my brother. And also look at this. Jesus has also helped us with the death of loved ones. Because it is the promise of eternal life that it tells me that because they're saved, I get to see them again in glory land. So there's a hope there that only comes from Jesus. Also, Jesus has helped me and helped you when you were sick and you weren't sure really what was going on. But Jesus helped you when you were sick. Jesus also was that person who helped you in your marriage when you don't tell everybody that your marriage looks like it's ready to hit the cliffs or it's ready to fall off a cliff and you're just struggling with a smile on your face. And you know Jesus is the one that's helped you in your marriage. And let me tell you, marriage problems aren't just for those who are in their 30s, 40s, and 50s, and 60s, but they're also those who are in their 20s. People in their 20s have marriage problems. People when they're 80 years old, if they're still married, can have marriage problems. But Jesus helps us, and he don't quit helping us in our marriage problems. He also helps us in those times of financial debt, and those financial things where it feels like we owe more than what we're making. Can I get a hallelujah? Is amen to that? We know that because Jesus helps us through our finances. He also helps us in those funerals when we're sitting there and we're financially ruined. That's what I'm saying, financially ruined. When we feel like everything is getting ready to be taken away. Maybe you filed a bankruptcy, but in that part that God has helped you through there. He's also helped you with your broken heart. There's nothing else and no one else, anyone that could help you with a broken heart. But Jesus knows how to heal the brokenhearted, and he's healed mine many times. But also know this, not just for myself, but Jesus has been good to this church. Jesus has been good to New Life Ministries. He's the one that had brought New Life Fellowship and New Life Ministries. He's the one that had brought many people to come to Christ through New Life Fellowship and New Life Ministries. He's the one who paid for New Life and New Life Fellowship and the ministries. He's the one that gave us 7 properties. He's the one that's financially supporting these ministries and the church. He is still on the building campaign. He is a ministry. He is not done yet with us. He has done so many things, more than we can even imagine. He is the same Jesus that's working for us, doing all kinds of things. He's the same Jesus mentioned here in Hebrews. And he is higher than the angels. He's higher than we are. And we need to keep connecting with him because his name is Jesus. He is the Son of God. He's sitting at the right hand of God. So when I'm talking to Jesus and you're talking to Jesus, he whispers over and he talks to the Father. And he tells you what you gave to him, he gives to him. And even when we don't know how to pray, the Bible says the Holy Spirit gives us what to pray. So it's going through a pretty good pipeline. It comes rough out of my mouth, but it comes through the Holy Spirit. It goes up to Jesus and goes to the Father. That's pretty good. And then what you know is angels get summoned and they get sent out and go, we're going over to New Life. Get down to New Life. Do this, do this, do that. God's awesome. Stay down there by New Life because they need this, this, and that. They're going through this. That one's going through that. That one's going through this. This one's going through that. That family's going through that. And Jesus is faithful. He's not giving up. And that's what we say. We don't drift away. Henry Blackaby wrote a book, and it was really huge at one time, called Experiencing God. It said, basically in a nutshell, was find out where God is working. If you're not seeing God work where you're at, find out where God is working and go there. At least you can get around what God is doing and reap off of some of those blessings that God is doing. I want to tell you, we're no more important than any other church in town. I'm no more important than any other pastor or any other person in town. But I will tell you this. If I was looking for a church, I'd probably come here. Not because I think I'm some great preacher. But the testimonies are one after another, after another, after another, what God is doing in this place. One after another, after another, after another, after another. Prayers, requests are answered one after another in this place. And God is using this place. And I'm telling you, we can go to the country club churches. We can get involved with all those things. But I'm telling you what, God is not moved by the presence. God is not moved by the awesomeness of a building. Because that building, that building has no comparison to what the building is in heaven. You can go to the greatest church in the state of Indiana that has the best band where they're never off key and they're always on note and they sound beautiful. But they had nothing compared to the band of angels in heaven. And they know how to put it together because they're playing right in front of the King of Kings. What is God looking for? A church that's not ashamed to say the name Jesus. A church that's willing to listen to what God has instead of what man has. Coming to the throne of grace boldly, but also knowing that we are nothing without Him. And it's all about Him. Knowing that we need Him every day of our life. It's a group of people. It's a church building with people in it that call upon the name of Jesus for everything in their life. I want to see the church grow. I want to see all the dings and the dents of the buildings all go away. But I will not trade a beautiful building and a full house for the presence. I will not trade that if it means losing the presence of God. I would not trade that for any amount of money. The presence of God is more important than anything else. I love Him. And I hope that you love Him tonight. Because he's been pretty effective in my life, and I assume He's probably pretty effective in your life. I have several testimonies where I didn't think things were going great, and I had my cry moments, and I had my wrestling matches with the Lord, and I had those moments where I wanted to quit and give up. I wanted to do this. I wanted to not do this anymore. I wanted to not do that anymore. I wanted to do my things, and it was in those moments that He was just awesome. Just awesome. I remember about ready to lose my car. I just got out of the military. And it's kind of funny. When you get out of the military, you start losing your government paycheck. You're not an employee anymore. But the bills keep coming. And I'm sitting here, Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm about ready to lose my car. They called banks, said they're going to come and pick it up in a couple of days. I called them up and said, I ain't got no money. Oh, a car payment. I said, Lord, they told me if I come up with $85 and some odd cents, I got another month if I just paid the interest. Well, I went to God and just prayed about it. I said, Lord, I have no money. And Lord, I don't got a job. How can I pay when I don't have a job? I got $126 for unemployment there, and that just about put a little bit of food on the table. And I want to tell you, that year ended up being a, I don't know, y'all ever have a dollar store Christmas? We had a dollar store Christmas. And I said, Lord, I don't have any money, and I need that money. I'm already going to come get my car, or our truck. And basically, I got a phone call, and Carla got a call. Carla got this little dinky job doing something. She made like $30 anyway, and then I got this moving a bunch of hauling stuff, and I got all, we had like 15 cents more than what we needed. I got $50 for moving some furniture all day. And I went back and I was like, God is teaching me something. One, prayer works. Know who to go to. Because here's what's cool. If you go to somebody and you borrow the money, then you're going to feel like you're under their heel. True? When you go to God and He works it out, maybe He works it out in a way many times that you don't have to be under anybody's heel if you do it His way. I learned patience. I learned trusting God. I learned taking my needs to God. I was learning and experiencing Scripture and didn't even know it. I think tonight, what God's trying to tell us is, I got you covered. Very simple. Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father, Holy Spirit's in every believer, angels are ministering on His command to us. I think we're pretty important. So we need to act like we're important. Not boastful, not prideful, but just say, you know what, I'm important to God. So I don't need to drift away. I don't want to drift away. I want to draw to Him. So I'm going to close with this tonight. So let's go ahead and stand. I want to preach a couple more minutes, but I don't need to do that. This morning I shared with you through a giving and generosity message that the ministries are doing great. Praise the Lord for that. And I'm very thankful for that. It's amazing. God's entrusting. But the church is not doing so great. Church financially, it's like this. Me and Scott talk all the time. It's like this. One's doing great and the other one's bottoming out. The other one's doing great and the other one's bottoming out. I'd like to be able to get them up. But again, we need to pray tonight because we didn't have enough money to take care of things last week, and this week I don't know what it's going to be, but financially this church needs money to take care of some bills and take care of some things. So I'm not asking you to give any more. I'm not doing that. I preached the message. Let the God work that. All I'm doing is asking you to pray about it. We don't have a golden calf, and I don't want a golden calf. Because a golden calf is not of God. Okay? We don't have a big savings account. We just trust in God. And I know this. He's been pretty good. He's been pretty faithful. So let's lay it out to Him again tonight. If you would, I just challenge you to maybe take a moment tonight in our altar call to pray for our finances and pray for whatever it is you need to pray for. 'Cause I